Welcome to Grow in Grace Podcast, where we want to encourage you to think deeply about God so that you can know Him and love Him better. Join us as we strive to grow in grace together. Welcome to the Grow in Grace Podcast. We are your hosts, Shanna and Kristen, and today we are ending our attribute series. Kristen?
If I knew how to like splice in applause and cheering, I would do that there, but I'm not that technically smart, so that's not gonna happen.
But you could figure that out though.
Maybe, but I'm not gonna put the brain power for it.
Okay.
I've got like a weekend to get this edited and uploaded. Sure. So we don't spend that much time. So just pretend that once Shanna said that, you have yay applause.
Yes, I have really, really enjoyed this attribute series. Hey, how's your week going?
It's going really well. I would like to comment as well. I've enjoyed the attribute series absolutely so much. It's not only been fun to be able to discuss it with you, but it's also been really great to continue to remind myself of some of the things that I know, but then I learned new things, and kind of new things were brought to the forefront as we studied and discussed. And so that's one of my favorite things about doing this podcast, is not only are we able to have these discussions and have other people listen in, but they're so helpful for, I know, for the both of us and our growth. So back to your question, how have I been? I've been really, really great. It's been, so the ministries that I'm usually a part of during the school year for church take a break in the summer. So it's been a really nice couple months of not necessarily having something every night, which has been really nice. I've enjoyed the flexibility. So the last couple weeks I've had the flexibility of being able to make dinner plans with some friends and kind of catch up and do some ministering in that way. And just, it's been really great to be able to have those evenings off and to be able to, you know, on a Sunday, decide to go out to eat on a Monday night. So it's been one of those blessings that I didn't expect. And so it's been really, really great. And then this weekend, I get to go to the Reds game on Saturday. So by the time you guys are listening to this, I'll have already gone to the Reds game. Hopefully the Reds have won, but who knows? Because when they played St. Louis this last week, they got stomped. So it wasn't pretty, but I'm sure it will be a lot of fun. I enjoy going to baseball games, even if we don't win. It's a bonus if we win, but they're fun to go to anyways.
That's enough. I have to agree.
Sports minute for you ladies that don't care about sports. But anyways, we do. It's one of the things, one of the many things that Shanna and I have in common is our love for baseball. But how have you been?
I've been doing good. This is going to sound so silly, but you know, but a lot of our listeners don't know, I started playing volleyball when I was 8, and I played all through school, and I played in college, and I played like a summer in Europe, and it's like I loved the sport. And then I coached for a long time, and so Emma got to go to her first volleyball camp this last week, and it was the most fun thing as a parent to like sit and watch, but also like it was really hard to not coach and to just be mom. And I even texted you, and you were like, Shanna, you are mom.
You are mom, you're not coach.
It was so fun. And I was like, I just felt like I was just there, you know, like it was just yesterday. Yeah. I was there, but also not just yesterday because I feel old, but that was a lot of fun. And then this whole week I have just, my kids are actually with their grandparents at grand camp. They have a grand camp with their cousins every summer. And so that's this week. And so my husband and I have kind of had the week to ourselves, and I have try to get a lot of writing in. The fall is about to kick off, and so I've had a lot of deadlines, but you know, it's one of my most favorite things to do is to write curriculum, and so I've really enjoyed it. And then today I got to spend the day with fourth and fifth graders doing like mission work and serving the community, and my heart is just so full. It was just the sweetest day. I absolutely love incorporating like missions into our like kids' ministries because they're not too young to do that. And so I am like, I've been like on cloud nine all day. It's been so great. And so now I'm really excited to talk about our last attribute with you.
To go back to what you talked about with Emma going to volleyball camp or whatever it was, did she love it?
She did. She did. She's like, and now I get to play on a team. Like, mind you, we homeschool. So it's not like, and she's nine. So it's like, not like that. She's like an abundance, you know, for 9-year-olds. But I was like, mommy will try.
Mommy will do whatever she can to get you on a team.
I will really try.
Yeah. Oh, but that's so fun that she enjoyed it. So yes, that's really exciting.
Yes. Yeah, she did. It was so great. Hey, Kristen, I feel like I haven't seen you in forever other than just through here. So I'm really excited to see you in November. It's only a few months away.
It's only a few months away. I feel like I joke around that once July 4th is done, I'm ready for fall. So I've been burning fall candles and things of that nature, but because I would like for fall to last from about August until the middle of November. Like, I'd be okay with fall being that long. But alas, it's not. But we will have a beautiful fall in Virginia, and you'll get to see your fall colors and all the wonderfulness. Oh, don't mind my dog. That's my dog. But yeah, we are going to be in Danville, Virginia for the Gospel Conference. Is that the name of it, right?
For the sake of the gospel.
For the sake of the gospel. For the sake of the gospel conference, which we are doing with the RFP network, the Recovering Fundamentalist podcast. For those of you that don't know, we are a part of that network. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be there November 3rd and 4th. I keep looking at Shanna hoping that I get, because she has all the notes written. I do not have these notes.
That's
written,
our personality.
So I'm just winging it and hoping that she'll correct me.
That's exactly right.
That registration opens up on August 1st.
August 1st. Yes.
And it'll be $50 a person. And so we're really excited to be able to go, to meet people, to just fellowship with other believers and hear some great messages. So
yeah, there is a great lineup of speakers that they have. So I am super pumped to hear Jared Wilson. I haven't heard him live. And so I'm really excited for that. And then the president of the college that you and I graduated from is going to be speaking, along with the three guys from the Recovering Fundamentalist podcast. And then they have an amazing worship set just lined up. And so it will be a weekend of fellowship and like loving the Lord and coming alongside each other. Oh, and we're also going to have a roundtable discussion.
Going to be a roundtable. I think they've talked about having breakouts also. So there's going to be a lot of fun things to be able to be a part of. And
our heart in all of this, and I say this just as being a part of the network, is just we want people to leave with their like affections stirred for the gospel, for Christ, and that they would just love him more as a result of this conference. And so we'll put out more details as it becomes available, but just in the next couple of weeks, you can already register, and I would love to see everyone there. It'd be really great.
I've already got the time off of work. Like, I already put those because I'm not going to be working during that time.
Tickets? No, ma'am, I'm not.
Super excited. Yeah.
Hey, can I read you an email that we got from a listener?
Yes.
About our last episode.
Yes, please.
It's probably one of my favorites because we had a super adorable guest on there.
I was going to say, you're not biased at all about that.
I am not biased at all, but she's really cute. Okay. It says, "Hello, ladies. I continue to champion for you taking this to YouTube so we can see your lovely faces."
That's a hard pass. Sorry. Not happening. Sorry, whoever wrote in. Not happening.
last episode was great. Looping Emma was special and absolutely highlights that children are also theologians. I think that is so important to make sure adults realize this and do what they can to engage children in theological discussions, pointing them to meaningful resources. Love you guys. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. That means so much.
I know. It was so encouraging. And then also, just from my heart, for people realizing that kids are theologians.
Yeah.
And that they can grasp often with a greater faith than adults the big things of God, you know? And so right. that was really encouraging. We'll have to do something like that again.
Yeah. Maybe get Oliver on.
Oh boy. There's no telling what will come out of that kid's mouth.
Oh, that's true.
Well, Kristen, we are going to jump into our last attribute. And, you know, we've only picked 8. So we've done 4 communicable attributes, 4 incommunicable attributes. And the list is like never ending. So it was really hard to pick the ones.
I was gonna say it was really, really hard when we sat down. I think the first one, we didn't even have an idea of what the 8 were gonna be when we recorded the first one. And we were like, hey, we should probably figure that out, like have some type of a plan. And I know we sat for a good long time saying, well, what about this one? Well, what about this one? There were some that we knew that we wanted to do for sure. But narrowing it down to just 8. Because obviously we could have taken probably an entire year to walk through all of them. But that,
and then not even got podcasting. All of them.
Yeah. That wouldn't make for good podcasting. No. I feel like people would get bored, but maybe in the future we'll have a Attributes of God 2.0 series where we can go through some of the other ones that we didn't get to go through this time.
That's right.
But this one is a really great one, and we specifically wanted to end on this one. And so we're going to be talking about God's immutability, or the fact that God never changes, that he is unchanging, that he is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
And I think it's really important to end with this, because if it's true that he's unchanging, that means everything that we have talked about will always be.
Right. Those don't change either.
So, and I think scripture is clear that it speaks of a God that does not change. Mm-hmm. There are hundreds and hundreds of verses in the Bible that talks about God's immutability. And it won't use that word. That's a fancy term theologians use, but it's just that he does not change. So like if you think about it, like an evolution in the world, everything is given to mutations, right? Everything changes, even down to like microorganisms and cells, like everything changes. It's constantly changing. But with God, like there is no becoming. Like his being never changes. We are always becoming something, and we should always want to be, say that again. We should always want to be becoming. How would you say that?
Yeah. I mean, yes.
Like, you know what I mean? Like whether it's through sanctification, like always pursuing godliness and holiness, always changing, but his being, his essence, never changes. He is always possessing the fullness of all of his attributes. So in a world that is constantly changing, he is constant. He is steady, and he's the one that we can fix our eyes on.
What a comfort that he is that constant, that steady, that rock, the one that doesn't ever change. And the fact that he is unchanging in his nature means that we can trust his word. Because if he's unchanging, then his word is unchanging as well.
Yeah.
We always, of course, love to hit scripture. So we have in Malachi 3:6, for I, the Lord, do not change. I mean, that's pretty clear, right?
I mean, like, I feel like that's clear. We're done.
Right. We could just take that and be like, okay, God said it. All right.
We're done.
He doesn't change. But we also see in the New Testament where Hebrews tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. James talks about the goodness of God, that with him, there is no variation or shadow due to change, that he does not change. That brings us such comfort as well, that we are personally connected to a God that doesn't change, that none of his attributes can increase or decrease because each is unchangingly infinite. Like his, like you said at the beginning, that we wanted to end with this, because if this is true, and we are saying it is true, scripture tells us it is true, God tells us this is true, that he is unchanging. Therefore, all these attributes that we've talked about do not change as well. God is always good. Mm-hmm. God is always faithful. God is always holy. Those things cannot change.
Yeah.
And it's because of this attribute that we're kind of diving into. Those things don't change. Another scripture that really stood out to me as we were studying this was Psalm 102, 26 through 27. They, speaking of the heavens and the earth, will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. But you are the same, and your years have no end. This verse and a set of verses exalts God's faithfulness to us in our time of need. He's compared to one of the most unchangeable parts of creation that we can think of, the heavens and the earth, right? Those are the things that the earth is still around. The heavens are still around, and they will continue to be until God chooses to change that. But even they are not immutable. Even they do not, cannot not change. Is that right? I'm struggling with grammar tonight. But he is. So they are not immutable, but he is. Not only is God eternal, your years have no end, is what the end of those, that verse says, but he's also changeless, that you are the same, that your years have no end.
And if you have been listening to our podcast, you know, we have bingo cards. And so this is the time to get your bingo card out. A quote that I really like in this, that
great merch.
I'm telling you.
As we talk about merch.
Hey, not a bad idea.
Right?
Write that down. Why am I telling you? You don't write anything down.
No, I don't write anything
I will write it down.
Please write it down.
Okay. In her book, None Like Him, Jen made this quote, and I really, really, really liked it. It said, "The God who was is the God who is. The God who is the God who is to come. And the God who is to come is the God who was." It's a big, like, if you're reading that again, it's just like, you know, like a big loop, a big circle.
Yeah.
And it is, he's the same. So he is immutable, which we would say he's unchanging, but it's not that he's not just unchanging, but he's incapable of changing in any kind. And that to me is, that's that when I read that, I was like, that's really good. It's not that he's just unchanging, it's that he's incapable of changing. And like, to me, that just like kind of blows my mind a little bit, you know, as someone who changes my mind every 5 seconds.
Well, yeah, because we're human, right?
Yeah.
And that's a constant, right? Change is a constant for us. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, when we're talking about his like the God of infinite sameness, like he is the same forever. The gospel itself is bound up in the idea of God's immutability. Like, we need God to stay the same because our hope of salvation lies in him remaining exactly who he says he is and doing what he says he will do. Like, that's our hope,
right?
Is that he will be who he is and that he will do what he says he will do. And he, as we said last week, he is faithful to do those things.
He is faithful to do those things.
Yeah. But this is, since it's our last attribute, it's also an incommunicable attribute. It is something that we cannot do, but boy, do we try. Boy, do we try. And let me just tell you, before we even talk about our, I guess, mutability, the way we change, I am going to be very honest and say I am a creature of like habit. My comfort zone lies in a routine and things being predictable. It is the complete opposite of Kristen.
Absolutely, it is like complete opposite.
But it is. And so like this hits me hard. And I see, as I was studying this, I guess the word would be like, you know, God high and lifted up in a different way, because I saw how lowly I am. Because I'm like, boy, do I try to be like unchanging, and that just does not happen. But yeah, as humans, it's hard for us to wrap our minds around this concept because we're always changing. Our bodies change, our opinions change, our moods change, and our routines change. Although I try for it to not do that, but it happens.
You just don't have routines.
I cannot even grasp that. But you think about it, like everything can literally change in a moment. Like one phone call can alter mm-hmm. the course of our lives. So we are not immutable, and we're constantly like seeking and grasping for comfort and stability. And that can be really unsettling.
Right. And it can give us the impression of stability, right? Mm-hmm. That we want to seek assurance in a, let's say, a tangible person or a thing mm-hmm. so that we can kind of feel like, oh, we have that stability. It may be a long lasting friendship that has stood the test of time. Hey, hey, that's you and I. It may seem that it is unchanging, but I think we can both say that it's matured and deepened, yeah. right? Yeah. Our friendship, while it has remained constant in the fact that, but I can't even say it's remained constant in the fact that we've always been there necessarily, because we mm-hmm. have had seasons where we didn't talk, like, or not out of being angry or upset at sure. each other,
life.
But just life or mm-hmm. things that were going on in our own lives. And mm-hmm. we just kind of grew apart. Mm-hmm. But then when we connected back, we realized that our friendship had deepened and matured in that time. Mm-hmm. So even those friendships that we would say, oh, that is an unchanging friendship, they do change,
they
should change.
Yeah.
Or you might like to go to the same vacation spot, like the ocean or the mountains. That doesn't seem to change, but it does.
It
right?
does.
Mm-hmm. You might go to the same spot, but you will see changes from yeah. year to year. Yeah. I think of when I grew up in Panama, and I lived there for the first 12 years of my life. Then we came back here to the States, and it was, I want to say 15 years before I went back. So I was well into adulthood, and how things had just changed so much. Things that when I was a child, I didn't see changes necessarily happening from year to year or week to week or day to day. And I don't think my parents mm-hmm. would necessarily have said there were some bigger changes, but even like the smaller things. But going back then 15 years later, how much things had changed, and things that I would mm-hmm. hope that would be constant and stay the same and never change. Yeah. Not only did the country and the people change, I changed as well. Like now these mm-hmm. big tall buildings that I thought were so huge, we're not as big because mm-hmm. I had changed and I had grown. But
yeah, I think that that makes me think of, you know, I know like I'm a very sentimental person. Like it annoys a lot of people, but I am.
And I'm not.
I know. Like if you die, Kristen, well, please don't die. Oh. And also you're in Ohio. Oh. But like I'm the girl that's going to like come visit your grave and remember you, because like that's what I do. But yeah. I was thinking like this makes me think of like visiting something from our childhood or in our past that brings stability. And I immediately thought of like my husband's grandparents. They built a house and they lived in it until their death. Mm-hmm. 61 years. And mm-hmm. so that was the place everyone had Christmas, you know. And whenever we would go in town and visit, like we would go to my mom and papa's house, because like that was kind of where the whole family would gather. And that was like a stability for the family, because my husband's family loved to move around a lot. They loved to travel a lot. But like home was on Alkay Drive in Shreveport, Louisiana, you know. Mm-hmm. And then they both passed away, and the family still has the home, but it's not the same. Mm-hmm. It's not the same. And I think that with like my grandparents, I'm really close to some of my two grandparents that are still alive. And I just thinking back of like, again, super sentimental, but like the house that I grew up in, that I grew up in when they lived in Shreveport, I would sometimes just drive by the house and I'm like, it looks nothing the way that it did.
Right.
And like all my childhood memories are there and it looks nothing like it did. And so the sadness and frustration we feel about change to something that we feel should be unchanging or should be stable reveals our tendency to ascribe what is true of God to people, things, or circumstances. Like we look to our spouse to be the rock for us that only God can be, right? Mm-hmm. Or we dread the thought of friendships growing apart. Mm-hmm. We don't like change. I don't like change to the simplest part of our routine, right? We crave the eternal and the immutable. Mm-hmm. Honestly, and I'm talking to myself here, that is idolatry at the core. We need something else to be God, and we need something else to say the same. The good news of that, though, is that just as the assurance of our salvation rests in the fact that God cannot change, my hope and sanctification rests in the fact that I can. So it's good that we change.
Right.
Like we are called to become more like Christ, to grow in sanctification and holiness. And so those are, you know, for someone like me who I don't like change, that it's a good thing. It's a good and right thing. That's what we were created.
Our mutability is not a sin. It is not, you know, it is the only one that is perfect is God.
Yeah.
And so because he is perfect, he does not change. He does not need to change, you know, like there does not need to be anything added or taken away because he is perfect, which is another attribute that we didn't hit, but
shocking. I mean, hey, round 2.0,
we couldn't hit all of them. But it is, again, I'm going to go back to comfort because I think for me, more than anything, this attribute is very much a comfort of having a God that doesn't change, because we are familiar so much with so many things changing in our lives, but that in an always changing world, he is unchanging. There is an old, I believe, Puritan preacher. I'm going to butcher his name. Well, not his first name. His first name is Stephen. I'm pretty sure his last name is Charnock, but I'm That's not what Charnock. I mean. Charnock, we're going to go with that. But he has a quote and it says, "What comfort would it be to pray to a God that, like the chameleon, changed colors every day, every moment?" Mm. Like that is why his immutability is so, it brings so much comfort. Mm-hmm. Is because it's a God. God is a God we pray to. And how hard would it be to pray to someone that is constantly changing, or that we aren't sure if he's even going to be there, or if he's going to care, or if he's going to, you know, all of those things are constant.
Can we come boldly to the throne of grace if we don't know what is waiting for us there?
Right.
Or, you know, what
we didn't have this,
if
we didn't have this assurance of him being unchanging, and also because we see like through scripture, but then also through our lives, how he has been faithful and consistent and how he has answered prayers, that because of that, because we see answered prayers in the past, we can go to him again boldly because we know that he will not change and that he will continue to answer those prayers. Answer them in ways that we might not expect, yes, but he will answer them and he is there. And so it's so comforting to think of God being unchanging and to dwell on that. But really, his immutability is necessary for his perfection. I mean, we change means that something, you know, when we talk about something changing, it means that something's either getting better or getting worse, but God in his perfection is already as good as he can ever be.
Yeah.
He is the absolute definition of good. We would not be able to say something is good without God being good. He is the definition of good.
He's our standard of what that is.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He doesn't need anything outside of himself, and therefore he cannot change for the better. His attributes can never be greater or less than what they are and have always been. Mm-hmm. He won't be any wiser. He won't be more loving. He won't be more powerful or holier than he ever has been and ever will be. Like those are constants.
And what all this means is that God is dependable.
Right.
Our trust in him is a confident trust because we know that he cannot change. And it's because the God who promised us eternal life is immutable that we can rest assured that nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing.
That's right. That's Romans 8, right? Yeah. Romans 8:38. tells us neither height nor depth, and it goes on and on and on. And I used to have it memorized and I don't anymore.
It's a lot. It's
but
a lot.
It goes on and says that nothing will separate us from the love of Christ.
Yeah. There's another verse in the Old Testament in Numbers that I really liked. And it said, God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? Won't he do it, Kristen?
Has he said, and will he not do it?
I love it. He is our rock when everything around us is shifting and shaking. He is our God, and he is our immutable refuge, unchanging refuge. And go ahead.
How powerful is that, that he isn't going to abandon us, right? We've talked about him being faithful. When there might be people out there that feel or maybe have been truly abandoned by every other person in their life. We all know people that their spouse has left them. And with that sometimes comes abandoned by their church and abandoned by family and abandoned by friends. Like, I know there are people out there hurting like that. But what a comfort that we can say, God is faithful and he doesn't change. He is that rock when everything around us is shifting and shaking, when everything seems unstable and like you cannot trust anyone, you can trust God because he is unchanging.
That is so good. And that's exactly what I'm hoping to end the series on, is, which I think the whole of our faith is hope. Right? We put our faith and our hope in a God who does what he says he'll do, you know? And I think of James, we mentioned it at the very beginning, James 1:17, like talks about like every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, right? God gives perfect gifts because he's a good father, and that never changes. That never changes. The very best thing that we could ever receive is to be reconciled to God in Christ and then and abide in him. And those two things are the perfect gifts that we need the most. And it's really encouraging to think of this as a, I guess, our sanctification as a journey of, we are trying to become more like Christ, who is not, he is not becoming, he is being, right? We said that. And so it's just really comforting to know that, you know, we live in a world where you can turn on the news and there's something sad and overwhelming. I was talking to someone just yesterday saying, she was like, I'm really struggling sending my kids back to school. I'm really, really struggling with that. And I'm like, you know, like, I get that. That's a, that is a real thing that parents are having to wrestle with, and go to the Lord with, right? And so our world can seem so chaotic, and the one thing that is not moving and that is sure and steady and steadfast is Christ. Like, he is our rock. And I know throughout this entire attribute series, some of this has been so easy. God is good. Kristen, he's good.
He's good.
But I think that it's really helpful for us to remember those definitions for when the enemy comes. But is God really good? It sure doesn't seem like God's in control right now with everything going on. Is he really? And to remember our definitions that God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, forever. And so I think what might be helpful for us, I'm throwing this at you without telling you about it, but I do think maybe we could put the attributes that we have discussed and their definitions. So if people want to write them down. So when we, you know, of course I know that God's faithful, but no, let's put a definition to that word. Right. God does what he says he'll do. And I think that's really helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. I can put those in like the show notes or the description or all of that. So that if you want to go and kind of copy and paste those and keep them somewhere so you can refer back to, as you were talking about our sanctification, and there's a book that I have that I was looking at that depicted it like, so if you have God and his unchanging is just a straight line, right? It doesn't change. It is exactly where it says it is. And you think of our sanctification, like it's more like a jagged, like up and down. Yeah. Always going up, but it is jagged. Mm-hmm. But then you also have, you know, maybe we have always called them mountains and valleys, right? Seasons of life and seasons yeah. that are kind of more of a curve, maybe not as jagged as our sanctification line would be, but that it is more of a kind of rolling hills or things like yeah. that. But just that helped me kind of be able to think of that, that God is just that constant mm-hmm. and that everything within us is going to be different and changing. Our seasons of life are going to be changing. Our sanctification absolutely should be changing mm-hmm. and we should be changing for the better and growing in our relationship with Christ, but that God is that yeah. constant. And I loved that picture that I got to see. And
I'm a visual learner, so I really yeah. like that too.
Hopefully I described it well enough for you to be able to picture yes. it. Yeah. But I really loved that.
I do love that. Hey, I'm really excited about what's going to come. We have a couple of guests lined up in the future that I am so pumped about. But I also, we talked about just putting this out there. We would love if there is something that you have questions about or that you are struggling with, or maybe you want clarity about, and you would love to hear it on an episode, a topic. We would absolutely love to hear from you as we're planning out the fall. We would love to kind of take that into consideration and see if that's something that we can dig into.
Yeah. As Shanna said, you know, we're obviously finishing up this attribute series. We don't know if we want to necessarily are going to jump into another series. We kind of are holding things a little open-handed. We do have a couple interviews that we're going to be doing, but which will take us in for like the next month or so. So it gives you some time to be able to kind of think through if there's anything, as Shanna said, that has been on your heart or that you would just love to hear us discuss and hear our take on it. We are not by any means saying we are the be all end all on a subject. Sure. Mm-hmm. But we want to discuss the things that you want to hear and that you are excited to listen to. So there's a couple different ways that you can reach out to us. You can go to our website, growingracepodcast.com. At the top, you'll see a little bar that says contact us. Click that. You can send us an email and we would love to hear that. If you want to reach out to us that way, you can reach out to us on Instagram through a DM. You can reach out to us on Facebook through a message. Anyway, just...
it's been really encouraging for us. Like
it
I
is
love,
very encouraging.
I love
we
it.
Love to hear from you guys.
Yeah.
Just to hear how God is working in your life and how he's using maybe something that we talked about or maybe nothing that we talked about. And you just want to share what God is doing in your life. We yeah. want to hear that. If there are prayer requests that you, if there's something that you are struggling with or that's just weighing heavy on your heart, mm-hmm. we would love to hear from you. We would love to come alongside of you and pray yeah. with you. And just be able to keep up with you in that way. So definitely let us know if there's anything that's on your mind that you're like, hey, I'd love to hear you tackle this. We have a whole list of things that we want to tackle, but we also want to make sure that we are doing things that you want to hear as well.
That's helpful.
Yes.
Yeah, that's helpful. Well, Kristen, we did it.
We made it through our first series. Yay.
We did it.
I didn't know if we ever would. I thought this might be not only the Grow in Grace podcast, but we would just change it to like Attributes of God podcast or something like that. And that's all we talked about. No. It's been a really, really great first series for us. And we really appreciate each and every one of you guys that have listened and give us feedback. But
yeah. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to our next episode. We get to interview a sweet woman who just loves God. And I cannot wait to just hear her story and for our listeners to hear her story. So that's coming up next time.
That will be our next episode. Well, until next time.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Grow in Grace podcast. You can find us at growingracepodcast.com for links to all of our social medias, resources we suggest, and to listen to previous episodes. We hope you can join us next time as we strive together to grow in grace.